Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, April 1st, 2015. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss NATO, the NATO treaty, and whether it passes the cost-benefit analysis for the United States or not. NATO has always carried an element of fear in that Article 5 of the treaty may have an automatic war trigger requiring the U.S. to go to war with nuclear-armed countries over in significant matters. First, a little background. NATO, or the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, was formed after World War II, finally signed on April 4, 1949. 12 countries were part of the founding of NATO: Belgium, Canada, Denmark, France, Iceland, Italy, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, the United Kingdom, and the United States. In 1952, 3 years later, Greece and Turkey became members. NATO now has 28 members, including many members that were formerly part of the Soviet Union. 25 members are in Europe, 2 Canada and the United States are in North America, and 1 Turkey is in Eurasia. Article 5 of the treaty states that if an armed attack occurs against one of the members, it should be considered an attack against all members, and other members shall assist the attack member with armed force if necessary. Let's look at Article 5 in light of what it actually says and what it actually requires. Article 5 of the treaty, quote, "The parties agree that an armed attack against one or more of them in Europe or North America shall be considered an attack against them all, and consequently they agree that if such an armed attack occurs, each of them, in exercise of the right of individual or collective self-defense recognized by Article 51 of the Charter of the United Nations, shall assist the party or parties so attacked by taking forthwith, individually and in concert with the other parties, such action as it deems necessary, including the use of armed force, to restore and maintain the security of the North Atlantic area. Any such armed attack and all measures taken as a result thereof shall immediately be reported to the Security Council. Such measures shall be terminated when the Security Council has taken the measures necessary to restore and maintain international peace and security." Well, this week is the 66th anniversary of the treaty. And in 66 years, Article 5 has only been invoked one time, and that was the terrorist attacks of 9/11. The United States consulted with the other members of the alliance and asked for an Article 5 response. The alliance agreed that if it was determined that this attack was directed from abroad, it would be covered by Article 5. NATO's Secretary General then informed the Security Council of the United Nations, as the treaty requires. Once an attack from abroad was confirmed, each member considered what assistance it would provide. By invoking Article 5, NATO members showed solidarity with the United States and condemned the action of the terrorists. The United States took immediate independent action along with its closest allies. Eventually, though, every member, all 28 members, were involved in the action in Afghanistan. Let's break down Article 5 and see what it really means. The parties agree that an armed attack against one or more of them in Europe or North America. Okay, let's stop right there for a minute. What the treaty is covering then is actual invasion of a sovereign state, not attacking some far-flung base in the Pacific or someplace like that. It has to actually be against the actual country. Okay, the parties agree that an armed attack against one or more of them in Europe or North America shall be considered an attack against them all. Thus did that one sentence carry the burden of guaranteeing the security of the Western world for the last 66 years. Article 5 is intentionally weak to protect the independence and sovereignty of each member. It requires a consensus voting to invoke it, and the vote must be unanimous. Once it is invoked, each member will assist quote, as it deems necessary, including the use of armed force. The purpose is obviously to provoke a concerted joint military response, the theory being that the sum of all the NATO members would be stronger than any potential attacker. This is the balance of power theory. This theory assumes that security emerges from a situation in which no single power is strong enough to challenge all of the combined members of the NATO alliance. Originally, the weaker European nations needed to pool their military capabilities with the United States to ward off invasion by the Soviet Union, which obviously was a strong possibility at that time. The United States benefited by projecting its power in Europe and by denying Western Europe to the Soviets. In reality, and in real time today, member states' interests often diverge substantially. For example, Western European members see the threat of Russia very differently than the Eastern European members do. I doubt if one of the Western nations would be interested in going into an armed conflict with Russia over a small portion of some Eastern European country. Has NATO been successful then? Well, in 66 years, no NATO member has been invaded by a foreign military power. Were members never invaded because of Article 5's deterrent, or is it just a coincidence? What if Russia moved against the Baltic nations of Latvia, Lithuania, or Estonia? Would NATO respond collectively against nuclear-armed Russia? Well, who knows? But in the end, Article 5 allows each member to do its own cost-benefit analysis before acting. Finally, folks, perhaps NATO and Article 5 is not as fearful or threatening to the United States as some people might think. At least that's the way I see it. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.